Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Thalitha Williams, your faith-based community nurse, and we're back in the trenches again talking about health and wellness. And it's my prayer that all has gone well, that you have been blessed, safe, and remain healthy, and things are all good. First of all, I want to say that my prayers go out to the families of the people in the Baltimore, Maryland. I think we need to hold them up in prayer. This is truly a tragedy. Being from Washington, D.C., I understand, how have some understanding of how the people are feeling. First of all, about the loss that now is considered of their loved one, but also the impact that it will have on their lifestyle, their economics, their family. So we need to uphold them in our prayers, that God would give them strength and comfort at this time. So we want to get back to what we talked about last week. We were talking about women's health. Again, my scripture is 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, in which temple ye are. Last week we were talking about women's health and the disparity in women's health. And what we talked about is, number one, just going to go over that briefly, is the equity. What does that health equity mean? And it is a state where everyone has a fair and just opportunity to attain the highest level of health. And this, of course, requires addressing historical and contemporary injustices. It also means overcoming economical, social, and other obstacles to health and health care. And it also means that we have to eliminate the preventable health disparity. We did talk about women are more prone than men to some risk factors, that causes heart disease, strokes, cancer, diabetes, and dementia. Women are primarily caregivers, and so they run a greater risk for poor physical and mental health, which includes not just that, but the anxiety and the depression that goes along with that. We also indicated that women with disabilities need the same general care as women who do not have disabilities, and they may even require additional care to address those individual and specific needs. We talked about intimate partner violence. And then we went down to, and I'm not going back over the statistics again, but we did talk about cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in women, and really it continues to rise among general population. And again, the last data I had was back in 2016, which showed that black women are 53% more likely to have hypertension, and that black women older than age 20 years are also more likely to have hypertension, diabetes, and obesity, which are all risk factors for cardiovascular disease. This does not mean that there aren't risk factors for other ethnicities. It just seems that that black women seem to be higher risk. And the thing that really struck me is the age difference. We've always known as you get older, that heart function changes. We've also known that there are certain addictions, especially drugs, which can affect cardiovascular disease for those that are younger. Remembering doing home health, how I had a lady in her 20s, just elementary school-age children, and she had a defibrillator and a pacemaker, but her cardiovascular disease was associated with drug use, and we do know that drug use does create a higher chance of cardiovascular disease. But this is the statistics that we're looking at. It's just, it's not really giving me that it's because of drug. It's just black women older than 20 years of age are now likely more to have hypertension, diabetes, and obesity. And, of course, these are definitely risk factors for hypertension. I'm sorry, for cardiovascular disease. And so we looked at the leading cause of death for women of all races and all origin, and this was in a data from 2018, and the number one risk was heart disease, the second was cancer, third was stroke, then you had chronic lower respiratory disease, then you had Alzheimer's, then you had unintentional injuries, diabetes, influenza, and pneumonia, kidney disease, and septicemia. And so we talked about normally nearly 45% of all women ages 20 plus are living with some form of cardiovascular disease. Unbelievable. And the last thing that we talked about is that cardiovascular disease kills more women than all forms of cancer combined. And yet there are only 44% of the women that recognize that cardio disease is their greatest health threat. And I did bring up an example of a lady who thought she had the flu, but she was having a massive heart attack. Among females 20 years and older, nearly 45% are living with some form of cardiovascular disease, and less than 50% of women entering pregnancy in the United States have good heart health. Less than 50% have good heart health. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of new moms and accounts for over one-third of maternal deaths. Black women have some of the highest maternal mortality rates, And overall, 10 to 20% of women will have a health issue during pregnancy, and high blood pressure, preeclampsia, gestational diabetes during pregnancy greatly increases a woman's risk for developing cardiovascular disease later on in life. And high blood pressure, we do know, runs, is very prevalent in African Americans. Typically, you have family history of it, and so it automatically puts you in that risk factor. And preeclampsia, of course, if you don't know what that is that it's when the blood pressure gets dangerously high. And a lot of times at that point, they're hospitalized to make sure that they can keep that blood pressure under control, because you do not want it to progress to the next phase of eclampsia. And, of course, gestational diabetes during pregnancy. And this is where during pregnancy the blood sugar becomes abnormal. With one of my pregnancies that was suspected, you go through this battery of tests for them to determine whether it is or not. But these things are important because you do know high blood pressure and diabetes does affect heart function. Anybody with any kind of diabetes are like 2 to 3 times higher risk for cardiovascular disease. Also, going through menopause does not cause cardiovascular disease, but the approach of menopause does mark a point where in midlife when women's cardiovascular risk can accelerate, making increased focus on health during this time more important. It's very crucial. Most cardiac or stroke events can be prevented through education and lifestyles changing, such as moving more, eating smart, managing blood pressure. These are the things which I think that when you're trying to educate people, they tend to ignore. But it's something that that I have talked about a lot, about making your lifestyle changes, not being so sedentary, eating smart, and of course managing your blood pressure. Does not mean. And when I tell people eat smart, they think, well, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. It's not so much that. You have to be careful that when you're eating things that affect you health-wise, if you're going to eat it, eat less of that. My son was doing something, and I really never really thought about it. But he sit down and he calculated how many meals he eats a week. And then he calculated out of those meals how many times he eats out a week. Okay? And he came and so one of the things, and I never looked at it this way, but he was saying, okay, I do eat out, but depending on if he does 2 times a week, 3 times a week, or 4 times a week, but maximally 70% of his meals are healthy weekly. And I thought, hey, that is a smart concept. Look at how much you're eating out, and then look how much of your meals are healthy that you're fixing at home. And how many times do you eat out, you know? And I thought that was a good concept, because what is happening, he is thinking, and that's what women need to do. They need to really think about their meals. The difference when it comes to women versus men, we tend to retain weight at a quicker rate because we have fat pads, which are important in reproduction, and so even if we try to lose weight, we're not going to lose it quickly as men do because men have no fat tax. They don't carry babies. So that's why it's very smart that we look at what we eat, that we move about. And I tell people all the time, like my son always teases me, you need to go to the gym. No, I'm not going to a gym. But I am conscious of what I eat. And I am conscious of moving. You know, the weather's been bad here, but it doesn't keep me from moving because I'm still walking back and forth in my house. Even with some of the bad weather, I'm still able to go out, walk around in my yard. And that's all that's important is that you don't become sedentary. And so we have to be more cognizant of what we can do to prevent these cardiovascular issues. And I think that we need to pour more education into this. People go to the doctor. I really feel like it's that even a primary care office, they should have an educator there because, you know, with the doctor's schedule, he can go over some things, but he can't go over everything in detail that you need to. And these specialties the same way, especially your cardiologist and any specialty, they need to have somebody there that can take the time to educate, even if they have to bring the people back. They need somebody there that can do follow-up. I remember working at the VA, and that was something that was very important to me, in which I was grateful that I was allowed to do, is to do a lot of education. And not only did I just do the education, I did have the time to, like, some of the people I had to call and follow up with them and see, you know, how are you doing, any problems now. And I think that's important. About 52% of high blood pressure deaths, otherwise known, you know, hypertension is known as the silent killer, are in women. And out of those women, about 58% of them are black females that have hypertension, more than any other race of ethnicity. One of my goddaughters' blood pressure just shot up all of a sudden. And it was at stroke level, just boom, just went up. She had not had any real issues with her blood pressure, was not on any blood pressure medicine, but her mother had blood pressure, and it runs through her family. So they did a battery of tests, and what they're saying, and she has been walking, but she's not huge, but she doesn't want to get as skinny as one of her daughters. But like I told her, you either do it or you're going to have to take blood pressure medicine, you know, because that's what they're telling her. She would sometimes just, because of her schedule, she would eat out, you know, just grab something. So she pretty much has limited that. She mostly cook at home, and she does walk, and she's got to lose this. You know, people don't understand with a 5-pound weight loss, you can start dropping your blood pressure. And I told her that's what you're going to have to do. Where there is probably about an estimated 4 million female stroke survivors living today, approximately about 58% of those total stroke deaths are in women. and women are less likely to receive bystander CPR because rescuers are often afraid that they'll be accused of inappropriate touching, sexual assault, or injuring the victim. And, you know, we've taken this sexual harassment to a point now where people are afraid to really, and I know this to be a fact because I've heard some of my counterparts say, I'm not doing it because I'll get, you know, I'll get blamed for something. So this is really it's a shame, but it does exist where people just don't want to touch a female because they don't know. And you know when you're doing CPR, you're at the upper part of the chest. So, you know, people think about that. So they do, delayed or abstain from doing any CPR methods. Women continue to be underrepresented in science, technology, engineering, and math fields, as well as research. In fact, women only occupy about nearly half of all the U.S. jobs, 48%, but only 27% of jobs in STEM fields. And, you know, I talked about that where women are really not, problems are not really researched well. They talked about maybe 38% of participants in clinical cardiovascular trials are women. And, you know, there are a lot of cardiovascular trials, but only 38% participants are in women. And so until we close the gap on the disparity regarding women, we're going to continue to have this problem. The other thing is that the other one was strokes. Women are prone to. Women are very emotional. They internalize stress a lot. And again, they're high risk for hypertension. So stroke is temporary interruption. I'm sorry, it's an interruption of the brain, oxygen to the brain. It can leave you with some residual problems. And usually the signs when you have a stroke is usually you may have a sudden numbness or weakness of the face, the arm, or the legs, especially could be just on one side of the body. You could be confused, trouble speaking or understanding, blurred vision in either one or both eyes, trouble walking, dizziness, balance loss, coordination loss, and you can have sudden severe headaches with no known cause. And so it's very important that you seek help right away, because the quicker the intervention, the better the outcome. And some people, once they have strokes, they'll have aphasia, which is difficulty with expression. Sometimes they may have what we call hemiparesis. That's where just one side, maybe just your arm, is paralyzed. That could be temporary, or it could, result in long-term. Sometimes it's just your left leg, right leg. It may just be one limb And I can remember that one of the came to me and she said, "You need to come." This, and I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "This man's mouth is not where it's supposed to be." And so I went out there, and the man was actively having a stroke because one side of his mouth was way up higher than the other. So, you know, women, you have to be understanding of these symptoms, and because sometimes things like that in a woman can be very subtle, and they not really recognize, you know, what's happening because it's just a subtle change. I was reading an article, and I did tell you about this lady this was another lady that had a heart attack, because a lot of times women's symptoms are, you know, they're subtle or they tend to ignore it. And one of the things, sometimes you can have symptoms that's unrelated to physical pain, like you may feel nauseated, or you may be even vomiting. And I think one, fatigue, is a lot of times women tend to ignore that because they have so much going on, and they just tend to ignore that. Then they have indigestion. You know, again, women tend to ignore that. Sometimes can be extremely exhausted, and you know, sometimes they'll just cap nap whenever they get a minute. If it wasn't more than 10 or 15 minutes, they'll cap nap. Sometimes they have body aches, and they think it's the flu. And I did give you an example of a young of a lady that, you know, she thought she had the flu, but she was having a massive heart attack. Also, some of the things that are subtle to women, they may have persistent backache in their upper right back shoulder area, not necessarily the left side, because we know when people feel some on the left side, they automatically assume. So don't assume that every heart attack in a woman is going to be chest pain or difficulty breathing. It can literally be that you feel like you have the flu. And that's why I tell people, when their symptoms last for a period of time, you just need to go get checked out. It's better to be safe than sorry, and not let it go on. It says, I looked up some facts about women and heart attack. It says women are more likely to have more than one heart attack symptom. And many women report that something fell off before they had a heart attack, although they cannot pinpoint why. Women have what I call is intuition. If you feel like something is just not right, it's better to go have it checked out. And the other thing is that, especially the younger women. Now, when you get older, you know, you go to the doctor, you know, but especially young women, you know, if they're not having a child, I know women who are not having children right now, and they're younger, and they don't have a primary care provider. They always say, well, if something's wrong, I'll just go to my OBGYN. Every woman needs a primary care provider. Your primary care is the one who guides your health. So every woman needs a primary care provider, and everyone needs a physical every year. If it may be every 6 months, depending on if you have issues. I know my goddaughter just got a primary care provider, so he said, okay, I'll see you in 6 months. He said, 6 months? He said, you're new to me. I've got to monitor your health and make sure that, you know, I have a handle on what your health is, how things are going with you. And it's luckily that he did, because she's the one that blood pressure shot up. Had to go to ER. It was at stroke level. Actually had to come off work for 3 weeks. So, yeah, it's very important to do that. The other thing, you know, the second is cancer. Pap smears, definitely. Have pap smears. Mammograms, definitely have mammograms. No, we don't like it, but it's something that you should do. Now, there are certain, at certain times, you may not actually need a pap smear, but you're always going to need a mammogram. You know, I'm looking, and breast cancer is just hitting younger women that really had no risk factors, because we do know that if, you know, you have family history of cancer, any kind of cancer, they kind of look at that, and more so if you have a history of breast cancer in the family. Take care of your lungs. If you smoke, quit. Nobody can make you, but it lowers your risk for chronic respiratory disease. And, of course, you know Alzheimer's, and I just got an article. I got to read it. I might want to share that with you, of things that they're doing now with Alzheimer's. Unintentional injuries. A lot of this has to do with intimate partner violence. We tell people you're in a situation where you're not safe. You need to get out, and that's easier said than done. And I understand that, but it's better. It is better to get out. And I know some people say, "Well, I don't have anywhere to go." You know, and it's unfortunate. Like I said, it's unfortunate because we don't have enough resources when these things happen. Here in my area, they have what we call second chance, and they have places that these women can stay until they can get on their feet. But you would never know where they are, because the houses are never identified. But even if you get it out, the big thing is the counseling, because a lot of women have been in this, and they have been, that self-esteem has been so lowered that it's hard for them to break that cycle. Or they feel like, you know, it's my fault if I had done. We need to put, that's what I said, we need to put a lot more of resources into issues that involve women. And, of course, diabetes is number 7. We all know about that. The weight loss, the eating smart, the increased activity will help that quite a bit. I have a female veteran that was diagnosed with diabetes, and she was determined. I am going to do better. I am going to come off this medicine. I'm going to control this with the way I eat. And she did it. And she did it. She came off everything. It's actually controlled by her foods. And as long as she keep that same mind, she can keep it controlled. And then, of course, you have the influenza pneumonia, which, and this is the eighth leading cause of death in women, females of all ages, I should say. Kidney disease is number nine. And kidney disease a lot of time goes along with the hypertension and the diabetes. And that's one thing that people, when you talk to people about hypertension, everybody knows about strokes and heart attacks, but they do not realize how it affects the kidneys. About 10% of the people in the dialysis center are there because of hypertension only, you know, and the others are there because of diabetes, but hypertension still filters into that. And so hypertension or high blood pressure doesn't just affect the heart, you know, alone, but it does cause overwork of the kidneys. You go into chronic kidney disease, goes through different stages, and once it gets to a certain stage, then, of course, then you will need dialysis. So that's why it's important to control that blood pressure. Is because of it does affect your kidneys. And the 10th leading cause is septicemia, which is an infection of the blood. Not sure why that's such a biggie with women, but it is. The main takeaway is that it is so important for women to take care of themselves. We know we have children. Some of us have elderly parents. A lot of us work outside the home. We have families. But you have to take the time to take care of yourself until more effort is put into women. Health, then you've got to take care of yourself. And so that is it for me this evening. I hope and pray you all have gotten something from this and have a good week and have a blessed Easter. And remember that it is because he died that we now live. And he wants us to live to our fullest capability. That means taking care of ourselves. Have a good evening.